We're back. We're discussing singing here with Rufus. Rufus sings with Johnny Cash every week, but there's still limitations.
Well, I'm sort of mumbling the words.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's such a wonderful tune, though.
As smart as you are, you can't remember the lyrics of this, a favorite song.
Now, if it were Honky Tonk Angel.
Yeah.
Which my mother said, if my boy had sung a lot more Amazing Grace and a lot less Honky Tonk Angel, he might have been governor.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we need to get a teleprompter in here.
Yeah.
And you could sing along with that. We don't need to leave Elliot on here any longer.
Oh. Right.
Elliot had a brainstorm about wine, apparently, and celebratory
actions. He removed the cork.
Okay. Elliot, would you start all over with this salute to Rufus? Elliot? Have we lost Elliot?
He must have said.
He just said to heck with it.
He must have said, I've had enough of this stuff.
We can't. I've waited and waited and waited. All right, Elliot, if you're moved by the Spirit to call back and share that with us, we would love to do, and we won't leave you hanging. All right. Well, we had the clock is a clock. Time is time.
Okay.
It's moving along. So, Phil, what do you have?
I believe it was Rob that called.
Yeah, Rob
Hales called, and he was talking about something that we thought might be ginger that he saw. Was it along US 1?
It was somewhere around Camden, South Carolina.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
So it probably would be
yeah,
US
okay.
1.
All right. So, Gail sent me a text and said that she thought that it might be clusters of the Arundo Donax. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right.
And I see that around.
Yes, it is a beautiful, we looked it up. It's a beautiful, it becomes a beautiful cluster. It is an ornamental grass. It's absolutely beautiful, and it does have a plume, much like
ginger lily.
No, a plume like some of the
St. John,
like some of the millet and things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay.
So that might have been what that was,
Rob. What's it called again?
Listening. It's Arundo, and then the second
Arundo
part of it,
or something. Like that.
And then Donax.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that's an
ornamental
grass. I've seen
that
out in the country.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Probably in Chatham County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe other places.
So thank you, Gail, and thanks for listening.
Brother Elliot is with us. Thank you so much, Elliot.
It's good to be back.
So okay, let's get into a celebratory mood here.
Okay. Before I do that, please, for Phil, my wife spent many happy hours at your old location with you and Pat and all of your wonderful staff.
Mm-hmm.
And after she passed away last April, I wanted to get a Japanese snowbell tree.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked for one for me and could not find one. I finally found one in Oklahoma at Sooner Plant Farm.
Uh-huh.
Had it shipped in. It was a 5.5-foot specimen. It has planted it on July the 4th, and it is thriving.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Ship a fruit tree in from all the way from Oklahoma to Greensboro, North Carolina.
Wow.
It never wilted a leaf or anything.
That's great. I'm so happy for that. I love that tree.
It's a beautiful specimen.
Right.
Mr. Barrister, when you open that exquisite bottle of wine, remove the cork slowly, let it breathe. If it shows no sign of breath after a few minutes, start mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
That's a good one there, Elliot.
The barrister takes note of that. That is a judicial order.
Have a wonderful day, and I enjoy continually listening with you.
Well, thank you so much, Elliot. We appreciate you being
appreciate
a part of the crew
that.
Here.
You know, take care. Goodbye.
Bye.
In England, the lawyers wear wigs.
And you went to Canada to preach a case.
I went to Canada to preach a case, and I didn't put a wig on, but I did have to wear a robe.
Yes.
And I don't know, I felt sort of funny.
Like a choir robe, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't burst out in song, though.
Well, that's good. That would probably, you
But
would
I did
been...
tell you what happened at the check-in. I hate to bring that
pants
back
Pants fell
up.
Down.
My pants fell down to my ankles.
Have we determined what happened there? Was there a lack of belt or?
It was a lack of coordination.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, he said take the belt out.
Oh, that's right. You had to take the belt out and your pants fell down. Well, I bet they never had
and
that
they went
happen.
Right down to my ankles. Everybody with robes and hairdos on. And
they all busted out.
They were busted.
Were you held in contempt?
Oh.
He hadn't made it into the courtroom yet.
I was barefaced contempt.
Yeah. What were the Canadians' reaction?
It was a muffled chuckle.
a muffled chuckle. I don't know if I've heard
That's
a muffled chuckle before. That's
lot,
hard enough
lot,
to say.
A lot of pointing and nee, 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 nee.
Well, I know your mama would want you to wear some fresh underwear if something happened. In case something like that happened.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
So, changing the subject back to the magnolia we were talking about earlier, the banana shrub. I can't remember if we really talked about it online or not. But anyway, the magnolia it's called Magnolia figo. Okay, and that's the banana. That is the original banana shrub. If you look under the extension plant toolbox, you'll find that. It says that it blooms in spring, but mine is in full bloom right now. And maybe it's stressed because it's been so dry.
Mm-hmm.
But it is in full bloom right now, and it is a beautiful shrub, and it smells like banana pudding when you drive by. I'd go by on the golf cart, and it got my attention immediately.
I bet so, since it's not supposed to be blooming, but maybe, I assume it's a stress, since it's not necessarily.
But I asked Alan from Panther Creek if it could be blooming now, and he said yes.
Wow.
Although the plant
so is
toolbox.
It a replete? Repeat bloomer?
I guess it did. But it's just beautiful. It's full of blooms.
Well, I don't think I have the same, but I may.
I'll have to find some more of those.
They like a lot of sun, don't they?
They like partial sun to full sun. Now, mine's in full sun.
Mine's definitely not.
Yeah. I think full sun would make it have more blooms for sure.
Yeah.
But it's.
I may have to get another one.
The bud has this beautiful velvety brown, just like a regular magnolia bud, and then the white bloom pops out, and when it does, goodness, it smells so good.
I think the flowers on mine are kind of relatively small.
Well, these flowers are not huge. I mean, you have to look for them.
Right. But they do.
They're made for smelling.
Yeah.
Not blooming.
I think probably if I had more sun,
yeah,
that I would have more blooms,
and
it would be more overwhelming. But it does smell like banana pudding.
It does. And then, I mean, it's kind of like the osmanthus fragrance, you know. You don't even realize it's blooming, and all of a sudden, you start smelling something that smells so sweet.
I had a big tree cut down, and a big pine tree, and so No, I had it was a maple that was cut down, and I'm getting a lot more sunlight on the big osmanthus I have in the front yard. And boy, I'll tell you, two or three weeks ago, it was going crazy.
Yeah.
It went like that.
And those are nice hedge plants, both of those, the osmanthus fragrans and the magnolia, the banana.
That hedge I've got is just wonderful.
Yeah.
30-footer, too.
Rufus, we talked a few weeks ago about the Raleigh City Farm.
Yes.
And Lisa Berry, I believe... Lisa is on the line with us.
Well, great.
Yeah, she is the director of the Raleigh City Forum, which is a nonprofit. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning? Did you get some rain?
You know, I'm walking around the farm, and there's nothing more I like than looking at plants that have been very thirsty and seeing them hydrated. So I'm walking around the farm right now, and yeah, there's a light rain, and things are looking really fresh.
This is an extraordinary story. The Raleigh City Farm is on Blunt Street, a very historic area near the governor's mansion. How did this happen? Why is that lot there, 1.2 acres?
Was
there a house there one time? I assume there was.
Yeah, so the good news is if you wanted to hear the full story, I'll try to be as crisp as I can. It's all on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, there were, you know, our founders were a bunch of young folks who just were wanting to start an urban farm. Their rallying cry was every city deserves an urban farm for all of the reasons we know that edible green spaces are important. So they began searching for land. They worked with the Triangle Land Conservancy, and ultimately they connected with John Holmes. He is he runs Hobby Properties. And if you think about where we are, the Person Street Plaza is next door. So he owns all that land, and he owned all this land. So it was founders, you know, found the land, consulted with the landlord, and then frankly had to work with the city to get it rezoned, right?
Right.
This was 2009-10. The nonprofit was founded in 2011. So they worked to rezone 1.2 acres as ag space. Now, previously, I live around the corner, but this parcel had five apartment buildings. So there were, you know, sidewalks and foundation and all manner of debris. And then actually behind Standard was a house. So that's as far back as I know, and probably, obviously, back in the day, it was a farm, like so many parcels were. So, yeah, so that was those were the roots of the foundation, which was basically a 1.2-acre lot full of rubble and dirt, and transforming it over 14 years took a lot of leadership, labor, persistence, passion, patience, and, we're thriving today, and the site looks beautiful.
Well, at least, is it sort of sharecropping? Is that, no farm boy knows about sharecropping? Can people come in there and grow in it with their own little space?
Yeah, so this is the important difference between a community garden and an urban farm, and we are the latter. We're an urban farm. Now, remember, community gardens are places where, in fact, I just spoke to the Kiwanis Club at the Highland Methodist, and they have a beautiful community garden attached to the church.
Right.
Yeah, and everybody gets a little parcel, and they tend it, and, it's a loosely organized, but often, the formality of it is here, it's attached to a church. We are a nonprofit urban farm, which means that we, are a nonprofit, have a staff, have a board, and we professionally farm the site with our core team of, really ace farmers, and we have an apprentice and a program coordinator. There's five people who are on staff, and then an intern. So interns are also part of our core team of, quote, experts, not even quote experts, but experts. It's hard to grow food, right? It's hard to take care of plants. And then beyond that, volunteers engage alongside us, and they, are carefully stewarded in their care. With our oversight. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right.
Lisa, hold on a second. We'll talk more with you about the Raleigh City Farm, which probably a lot of people don't know exists, especially in one of the prettier parts of, I mean, what a nice addition to a very historic area. We'll talk about that coming up and take your calls on gardening subjects here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 921. All right, we're back on WPTF. Excuse me, Lisa Barrow is with us from the Raleigh City Farm in downtown Raleigh on Blount Street. And we've talked a little bit about the history. And so do you have any association with North Carolina State? I was just curious.
So we have so many partnerships for financial support, for talent, and now, in the talent category, I mentioned we have an internship program, and this is where we have about 10 interns a year, three or four every 4 months, work alongside our farm team. And bottom line, we're trying to grow growers, and since 2020, we've graduated 50 young people. So we often work with state in their horticultural science department as a great bridge between their students and our program. So Mary Archer is now the lead there. So we connect with her. You know, often we'll go and talk to the students. Sometimes the students, actually, they just had a tour here. So there's that connection.
Well, Lisa, what do you do with your food?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, we grow a lot of food. And as I said, we're 1.2 acres. And the last couple of years, our annual yield each year was over 13,000 pounds of food, 6.5 tons of food. Our goal is to make it affordable and accessible. So all year long, we have what's called our Farm Share program, where we're basically donating food to our nonprofit partners we know have the right audience or the right folks who need to get the food, the right storage capabilities. So these partners include a place at the table, which we all know is our lovely Taywood Spring restaurant. We work with, now we have Carol's Kitchen, which is another great nonprofit restaurant. We work with Catholic Charities, with Interfaith Food Shuttles, Agency, Alliance for Aid Services, NC, with Feed the Pack. Just interesting, notably, my husband is at State. He's a professor, and he was speaking to one of his students. We just talked about this last night, and she just said, I'm having trouble with my studies because I don't have enough to eat, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Really, 1 in 10 NC State students, y'all, is food insecure. Oh, and the good news, it's bad news, but the good news is there are services available. And in this case, there's Feed the Pack. It's a beautiful pantry with all kinds of amenities for anyone at State who's in that very difficult position where you're trying to learn. I mean, think about children. We think about, children, but this is, all up and down the age spectrum. So those are the partners who are part of our farm share program. Then we have what I would call a consumer channel. Our farm stand is open seasonally. So this is
Lisa, we have about 1 minute before we have to break.
I'll wrap.
Have to go.
Okay, so Paywich Camp Farm Stand open Wednesday from 4 to 7, April through October. So folks can come up and purchase food. And then what we don't sell, we give away to our farm share.
Right, and you also have a big event coming up, don't you, Lisa?
Yes, we do. Actually, Harvest Dinner. And, I believe we're sold out of this, but this is one of our fundraisers. We do a farm-to-table dinner October 12th and have a lot of people come and dine on the farm. We have Jeff Sizer of Pony Store. So I don't want to talk it up too much because there aren't any tickets left. But but we definitely are looking for, quote, fertilizer all the time because it takes a lot of resources to grow a farm and to grow healthy food, and the benefits are myriad.
Raleigh City Farm, and you can find you online, and please stay in touch, Lisa. You're welcome to call us anytime.
Thanks for having me, again, I invite people to come to our farm stand, check out our website, check us out on social, sign up for a newsletter, etc. Always love to talk about plants.
Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. Okay, I'm here, and I was walking down the hall. We were trying to find some people to eat these freshly made donuts and pastries.
There was no one here.
There's nobody here. We've got a couple of people in the newsroom, so we've already eaten something. You can't push pastries anymore.
No.
Andrew Krenn is with us from the National Weather Service. Andrew, I'm sorry I can't bring some of these freshly made donuts and apple fritters and cinnamon buns to you folks at the National Weather Service in Raleigh. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
We couldn't be a whole lot better. I tell you, I was sort of relieved this morning when I looked at the National Hurricane Center and the National Weather Service and saw that Imelda-to-be may be making a turn. At least that's the forecast right now. Can you bring us up to date on what's happening in the tropics?
Yeah, that does appear to be the case. The storm is still well off, well to our south. It's just northeast of Cuba. And yeah, the current forecast has it tracking north-northwestward, basically into early next week, early Tuesday, still off the coast of Georgia, South Carolina. But where the uncertainty still lies is, as we get into Tuesday and onward, is what's going to happen as that system is going to track more towards South Carolina and make an inward penetration into maybe Charleston area, or will it stay offshore and then eventually recurve and move off to east and remain out in the Atlantic. That's kind of the big question mark right now, and kind of where a lot of the guidance is kind of still struggling. Although, as you did point out, there is sort of that trend in the last 12, 18 hours that some of those suggestions would be that it could stay offshore and shift east, but we don't want to let our guard down just yet.
Definitely not. Now, there is Umberto out there as a hurricane now, and they're about a 1,000 miles apart, but is Umberto having any effect on this storm, or is it that low pressure system that's moving across? What's affecting it right now?
Yeah, so I mean, surprisingly, you know, it's kind of being unnoticed because it's too far east to eventually impact us directly, but right now it's a category 5 hurricane, and it's obviously having some direct or indirect influence on the potential Imelda. And as Humberto moves northwest into the afternoon hours on Monday, there is some influence it's going to have to help draw part of Imelda towards the east a little bit. But it's kind of a race between the two of them right now. The furthest north, how fast can they go north? And if Umberto ends up going further north faster, then it will help to draw in Imelda further to the east and keep it offshore. Right now, that's going to be a question mark to see how that happens and how it evolves.
Yeah, there was some concern yesterday about the system Imelda stalling or number 9 stalling at some point or moving very slowly. Are these systems moving slowly at this point, Umberto and number 9?
Yeah, I mean, in the next 24 hours, you know, Umberto is only supposed to, you know, not really get that much further northwest. And similarly with TC9, which would be Imelda, you know, it's only going to be getting into, it'll still be east of Florida by the afternoon hours on Monday with the current track. So definitely developing slower. The trend has been slower. So I think the slower trend would be in the favor that it would be potentially less impact, but we still have the trough to our west today and tomorrow, and that's going to help be a player as well. If that trough is situated just the right way, it could help push it inland towards South Carolina. If it that trough weakens, we'll get a building high pressure towards the middle of next week, which could help keep that system to the south and then keep it offshore.
Well, being a western North Carolina native, I'm concerned about some of the folks up west. What's the latest on that?
There's rain in our forecast, and we're thankful that there is rain. What about North Carolina and rainfall for the next few days?
Yeah, we have pretty much showers around, you know, much of today and tonight, although our heavy rain threat, which we thought yesterday was going to be pretty much, you know, eastern North Carolina towards the coast, that looks like it has shifted mainly towards the coast. So heavy rain threat is not as dire as we thought 24 hours ago. So that's an improvement. In terms of, you know, western North Carolina, it's going to depend on the track, obviously. We've kind of ruled out, certainly still plausible, but it seemed like a lower potential that we would get a track where the system moves directly north and penetrates basically eastern North Carolina. That would be kind of a worst-case scenario for the eastern part of the state. The two scenarios that are still plausible is that it stays offshore, and we still get some rain activity across the state Monday into early Tuesday, but not really in terms of the heavy downpours. The other track that's still potentially plausible is that it makes an inward northwest turn into South Carolina, and that would be more of a risk for our western North Carolina residents that are still recovering from Helene, because they would get a heavier rainfall threat.
Wow. Well, Andrew, we depend on you folks, and thank you for your good work, and appreciate you taking a little time to talk to us this morning.
You're welcome. No problem. Anytime.
Thank you. Andrew Krenn with the National Weather Service in Raleigh here on WPTF. We're back on WPTF, so we talked to Lisa Berry with the Raleigh City Farm, which is just fascinating. Yeah, that's really sounds like something that if we are able to contribute to an organization, food, and her talking about her husband, the professor at NC State, and having a young person, a student at NC State who can't afford to eat. But it sounds like NC State for many years has been helping with that, and I salute them for it. But it's just something that most of us don't think about.
No, there's a fund at Carolina. I'm on the Board of Visitors there. And that fund, much to my surprise, had a goodly number of people it serves that just are so poor that they don't have enough to eat. And we're all so very, very lucky, I'm sure.
We're sitting here talking about these cinnamon buns and stuff that Phil brought in this morning, and there are people that don't have anything. And we lose touch.
Yep.
And it makes me ashamed. Rufus, you are in line with this in that the Super Kids Foundation helps the same type of young person who is
absolutely
who has many, many problems, but they're good people, they're smart, and they want better.
Well, we had a couple kids that were using a non-public place where they could go pick up a little food at the school at Broughton, and
oh my gosh,
and it didn't want to embarrass anybody.
Yeah,
but a lot of our kids. In the Super Kids Foundation, had some problems with getting the right kind of food and some food, and that's why Phil and you or so many other people are such wonderful people to support that organization. I looked the other day, and I don't tire of saying this, but over the past 31 years, we put over 132 kids in school that otherwise would not have been able to do so.
College.
College. 30-some different universities. Mm. And a lot of them are going to Wake Tech right now, the last three.
I guess so. That's one of the greatest in the world.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Are going to Wake Tech with the wonderful president out there,
they
friend
got
of mine.
Everything. Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Rawls, Dr. Rawls.
Oh, Scott is just such a great president. And The Super Kids Foundation is coming up again October 29, my dear friends out in Radio Land. October 29.
All right.
At Pam's Restaurant at 5:30. Phil will be there. Phil will be bringing some beautiful plants I have in my home that she puts them an arrangement in a big pot and puts a is it arborvitae in the middle and you can it will last for years.
Yeah.
And it's just we have trips that people give, and the main thing is you get to come see these kids get up and say something about how they appreciate life. And we talk about civility. One of the criteria to be chosen as a super kid is you have to have exhibited good citizenship and civility. We're not going to have you in the program. You wouldn't last very long. And we've got people giving back now. Kids that were some 30 years ago. We've got an athletic director out in Middle Tennessee State. We've got teachers. We've got a doctor, medical doctor. That's what it's all about. Wednesday, October 29. And you can call Cheryl, good old Cheryl.
She knows everything.
919-829-1988. 919-829-1988. And I'd love for somebody out there, you folks in Radio Land, is the Reverend Roscoe Green used to say on WATA, you good folks in Radio Land, call up and say, we heard about it on the Weekend Gardener, and we want to help the super kids.
Now, right. The thing about Cheryl is, she is your assistant, and Big John is her assistant.
Correct.
So you...
Yes.
You've got it all.
Yeah, where are you, Big John? He's
we haven't heard from Big John in a while.
He's a great part of the super kids.
Yeah.
He knows how to work it.
He's big boy, you know. He just
got a great. He's got a great radio show too. What's the name of that station? I don't remember the call. It's in out of Sanford on Sunday afternoon.
Tramway.
Yeah,
and but they go all over the place.
Yeah,
and they're a North Carolina News Network affiliate. I think they carry my newscast. Probably reluctantly, but they.
You're
I
everywhere.
Think they,
you're
they
everywhere.
They carry my newscast. So well, I'm very proud of that.
I was on the way to Boone here a while back, and there was Mike Rayleigh.
I think that's where Charlie Daniels worked, back way, way, way back before he became famous. He was a disc jockey there. I believe that's the station.
Hmm.
Yeah. Big John's carrying on a very popular beach music show on Sunday afternoons. So, yeah.
Well,
Super
thank you
kids.
For that little
yes, sir. Well, it tied in very well. It's called, again, it's called Segway. Will Fat Leg be there?
Fat Leg will definitely be there.
Okay.
As
well, that's a big draw right there.
The Sergeant at Arms. He has two titles. He's also the Sergeant at Arms at the Wake County Chitlin Club.
Well, it's great to have security. And with Big John and Fat Leg there.
Yeah.
And possibly Joe the Bouncer. I mean,
well,
we
Joe
wouldn't
the
need anymore.
Is a member in good standing of the Chitlin Club, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if he has time to go to that event or not, but...
Yes, he certainly does. He drove
all
the way
tall, hefty people are
Virginia.
Welcome. Good people. All right, so we really have a cast of characters on this show, don't we?
Yep.
Yep, really,
lots of good
really
friends.
Really and truly do. Yeah. So, Phil, we talked about your banana pudding tree that's blooming that we didn't think was supposed to bloom this time of year, but it is.
Yes.
You can't tell it what to do. It's like Ann Clapp used to talk about. Somebody asked her if this plant attracts deers or were they eat it or do they not like it? And Ann said, well, if they're hungry, they're going to eat
anything.
Whatever they want.
That's
I mean,
right.
You know,
anything available.
If they're hungry.
Yep.
So it's if the banana pudding plant's supposed to bloom in May, but it wants to bloom in the fall,
yeah,
if
Alan
it feels
said,
moved to do that.
Yeah, Alan said that it could be blooming now. So
yeah.
That's
well, we
good.
Know for a fact that it is.
It is. It's in full bloom, and it's beautiful, and it smells so good.
And Rufus doesn't have one. As much as you like banana pudding, you had one.
Oh, yes. I had some yesterday, banana pudding.
No kidding, did you?
Yeah, Golden Corral. Pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Well,
good job.
I hadn't been to Golden Crown in a long time. My good friend Bill Carl was the co-founder.
Yeah.
Along with James Maynard of the Golden Corral.
Right.
And I decided I want me some mashed potatoes and gravy, corn on the cob, string beans, and nanner pudding.
All right.
That's
then.
A good place to get it.
Took Miss Linda with me. She hadn't been in a long time. And,
uh-huh.
We had a good time.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
That's great. Glad she got out.
So, Phil, what about your pansies? We haven't talked about that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we've got tons of mums that are just...
Oh, yeah, mums.
They're really beautiful right now, too.
Yeah, I bet.
And so mums are a really nice plant to put in between the summer annuals that may have gone out with all the dry weather. Mums are good to stick in just for some color... for a few weeks, because it is still too warm to plant pansies. I know their pansies are out.
I saw somebody getting them out of their car yesterday.
I know. We've got some pansies. We have pansies at our nursery, but they are pansies we brought in from our plug grower in West Virginia because it's cooler up there. It's very difficult to grow a good pansy in this heat. So, but we're going to have some that will be ready in about a week. And we'll have tons of snaps. We're going to have tons of cool wave pansies, which are the ones that trail. And there's a new one out this year called Top Wave. And it's more of a mounding type, but then it also trails as well. So there's lots of really neat colors in the cool waves and top waves. And then we do have the shorter snaps and then the medium snaps that will be blooming soon, actually.
And they will winter over pretty
and
well.
And dianthus, yes. As warm as it is around now, they will overwinter, yes. So,
they make snaps and pansies make such a great combination.
And lots
sure
of,
do.
Lots of, I know, I'm not going to, I hate to say this, but lots of ornamental kale.
Oh, good.
We have some
well, that's ornamental. We're not talking about
that. We have the edible kale.
I love ornamental kale.
It's beautiful.
I do too. And cabbage. Yeah.
Again, it's very difficult to grow that around here, and so we have some really pretty ones that Bobby grew up in Mason, West Virginia, and we got from him. So we've got those, and we've got some mums that are like tricolor mums in a decorative container. They're beautiful.
Do you mean three colors on one mom, or you?
In one, no, it's three colors planted in one container.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want you to clear that up.
That would really be something.
Yeah, that would. But it's getting there, but it's been pretty warm in September and dry, very dry. So.
Oh, it's extremely dry. It just, and the large trees just, they'll suck the life out of a landscape.
And we've got beautiful shrubs in. We just got a couple of loads in yesterday and the day before, and they're just gorgeous, and I'm just glad that it is starting to rain some now so people can put their shrubs in.
I take it you've got camellias.
We do. We have camellias.
Fall blooming cyclas.
We do.
Also,
and we've got lots of really nice shrubs and trees available, but I'm going to have to find some. I'm going to have to talk with Alan and find some banana trees, banana pudding trees.
How many varieties are there?
Well, there must be at least four. I'm not sure. There's probably more than that.
That are at least happy in this state.
Four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want mine sort of heavy on bananas.
I don't think. You can get your kale salad and put some of these little flowers, flowers on top.
You done messed up my morning.
Well, I don't know what you expect from this tree. You're expecting too much. It's not going to make you banana puddings for you. Don't have vanilla wafers for one thing.
Yeah, but you can dream. Just
yeah, that's
dream.
Right. You can.
It'll
sit there
spur
and
you
smile.
To go somewhere.
That's
and,
right.
And like Miss Campbell's house, where she makes banana pudding with meringue on top,
that's
like
right.
You're supposed to.
That's right.
And it's tough to make good meringue that doesn't fall.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's a signal. This show is just out of hand here, moving so fast.
It is.
We got to slow down. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up on WPTF is 9:57.